So Austin Berg joins us on The Mincing Rascals. It's that podcast that we drop on Thursdays. It actually dropped on Wednesday of this week. So there's a new edition of a podcast where we visit with Eric Zorn from the Chicago Tribune. And then often it's Heather Cerrone from Channel 11, Austin Berg from the Illinois Policy Institute. Sometimes Darlene Glanton from the Tribune joins us as well. Neil Steinberg from the Chicago Sun-Times. And we talk about stories in the news. Often, those journalists who are dialed in a little bit more on the intricacies of city government than I am will bring up the consent decree. I asked Austin to join us to kind of shine a little light on that. Hi, Austin. Welcome back. How are you?
Hey, John. I wish I wasn't on to talk about the subject, of course, but it's important.
What is the consent decree?
So the consent decree is essentially a work plan. You can think of it as a work plan. So after the killing of Laquan McDonald, the U.S. Department of Justice investigated the Chicago Police Department for more than a year. And in 2017, they released this comprehensive report. It's about 200 pages that lays out a pattern or practice of the police department violating folks' constitutional rights. And it's really detailed and in-depth, and I highly recommend anyone interested in this topic to actually read it. It's pretty easy to follow, and they'll be shocked by what they see in there. So following that report, the state attorney general actually had to sue to compel the city of Chicago to enter into a consent decree that would essentially implement reforms to all of those findings in that report. And that is also a long document. And it lays out, there's hundreds of individual paragraphs that have individual recommendations. And now there's basically a court monitor. You'll often see, if you follow the news, reports on what the progress is on each of those items.
Can you give us an example of what some of those items are?
Yeah, so one of them, and a lot of these, you'll think, why wasn't that done before? They're very simple. So one of them is Chicago Police Department will maintain records of performance evaluations in the appropriate electronic data tracking system, right? Pretty simple. We're going to have performance reviews of our officers, and we will maintain them. The city is not in compliance with that. Here's another one. Pursuant to its training plan, Chicago Police Department will develop and implement a process that provides for the collection, analysis, and review of course and instructor evaluations to document the effectiveness of existing training and to improve the quality of future instruction and curriculum. That's basically saying, what's our process to evaluate if our curriculum is working or if it's not? Do we have people review it or not? The city's not in compliance with that. So there's hundreds of these paragraphs with these very clear action items. And then you have an 800-page report that comes out twice a year, and it details where the city is, red, green, or yellow.
Austin, I don't know if what I'm about to say is germane to what you are saying, but in the case of Adam Toledo, in that 0.8 of a second, I keep quoting that number because I heard it and I think it's telling, in that fraction of a second that the police officer had to decide if Adam Toledo was going to turn and fire at him or turn at him with his hands up and surrender to him, he fired his gun. He should not have fired his gun. But I don't think it's fair to say that that officer I don't know what the end of that sentence is. Maybe I should just leave it at that. But I don't think that the officer intended to kill Adam Toledo, and I don't think that the officer knew that Adam Toledo was surrendering. I think the officer, based on my view of the video, thought that maybe that was a gun in his hand and he was going to fire at him first.
Well, I think this is where, of course, the moment itself is 0.8 of a second, right? But there's also plenty of lead up to that question, right? There's commands given by the officer. There's a foot pursuit, right? All of these things are involved in officer training. And in the consent decree, you see oftentimes these things laid out in detail for how the department can improve. But the problem is the way that police governance is set up in Chicago, these things just aren't getting implemented. There's no one driving the bus. The mayor's office has not been able to instantiate a lot of this, and the police department has refused to as well. But people, I think, in times like this are looking for solutions, because Adam Toledo should be alive today, and they want to know why he's not. And I think the consent decree really, really provides a blueprint for how to improve policing for everyone, not just, you know, civilians, but officers as well.
Well, that's an interesting point, because I've been focusing on that decision the officer made. But if we had better training, if we implemented some of the stuff in this consent decree, maybe it would not even come to that. Is that what you're saying?
Right. Think about the commands that were given to Adam and how he reacted to those. Officers should be drilled on that, and in many departments they are. And this is tough stuff to implement, too. I mean, Los Angeles had a consent decree in the early 2000s. It took them more than a decade to implement all these reforms. But you talk to anyone there. You talk to Charlie Beck, who was superintendent of Chicago Police Department. You talk with Richard Tiefenk. He's the executive director of the LA Police Commission. They will tell you it's night and day, and the officers are happier, and the community is happier. And, I mean, just look at the homicide rate. It's a fraction of what we have in Chicago.
Who's supposed to implement this in Chicago?
So that's kind of the problem. It's kind of a passing of the buck. You have this independent monitor who essentially serves to say, hey, you're not, it's sort of like an elf on the shelf. Like, hey, this isn't happening. You're not doing a good job. But there's no real teeth behind that. And until there's real governance change to allow for the execution, the day-to-day basic management practices to get this in place, this is going to be a cloud hanging over the head of Chicago. So you have a three-ring circus. You basically have the independent monitor and the media and nonprofits and advocacy groups saying, we need change. Then you have the mayor's office, which has lots of political considerations, and the chief of police, who they're always going to be on the defensive with those things. And then you have the Fraternal Order of Police, who are not interested in reform whatsoever. So in that three-ring circus, there is no one responsible for the actual execution and day-to-day implementation of these reforms. In L.A., that's the L.A. Police Commission, but we don't have that in Chicago.
You said that the paragraphs are labeled with red, yellow, or green lights. Like, how are we doing?
Well, not necessarily red. That's in my head, but it does have check marks that say in compliance, not in compliance.
And is there a number you can give us? I mean, is there a grade of our compliance that we're getting?
There's 40%, I can tell you, of the deadlines in that consent decree have been missed in 2020. Many of those reforms don't have deadlines that are being missed, but of those that say we need to do this by this date, 40%, we are missing.
And is there I don't want to use the phrase smoking gun, is there something that is most egregious about all of this? I mean, is everybody looking at one thing in particular, or is it just death by a thousand cuts here?
Yeah, I think it's death by a thousand cuts, I think, is a great way to put it, especially on the training side. There's basically just what we found in the Department of Justice report was there's all of these violations of constitutional rights of Chicagoans happening, and yet they just keep happening. The training doesn't change to update officers on, hey, this might be a better way to go about doing this so that these rights violations don't happen. There's not that feedback loop. And until you make a lot of changes to training, that's going to continue.
Would you say that fundamentally the problem is trust, right? That the the black and brown communities on the west and south sides of Chicago just don't trust the police. It's one of the reasons they run. Sometimes they run because they don't want to go to jail. Sometimes they run because it's adrenaline, they're afraid. But at the end of the day, the police are there to maybe keep the peace, and yet you are always running from or fighting the police. So there's the lack of trust on the black and brown community. But similarly, the police don't seem to have a good relationship with those people themselves. And the brute tactics they use sometimes don't do much to help that. In the editorial in the Chicago Tribune today, they talk about I'll just quote from the editorial, police respond to calls in black and brown communities more aggressively, more callously than in white communities, that the often amped up police response is not commensurate with the situation at hand, and that the de-escalation techniques that reform groups have long advocated never seem to get implemented. And so residents in minority communities are more fearful of police, less willing to cooperate, more likely to run like Adam. You know, they're putting it on the cops in that case, and the city in that case.
Yeah, I think there's two spectrums where there's lack of trust. There's lack of trust between the community and the police. I think especially this is evident in giving evidence to police that would lead to the arrest. Our clearance rate is still far below national averages for solving murders. And a lot of that is because people don't trust that the police can protect them after they give them information. And then there's also mistrust between the police and the government. And that's really problematic. So you have, instead of a professional management and oversight of the police, you have political oversight and management of the police. And that has been catastrophic. And that's where you really need governance change. And I advocate for an LA-style police commission in our book, The New Chicago Way. And I would ask any alderman that's voting on a police oversight proposal, have they spoken with Charlie Beck? He, more than anyone else, has overseen the transformation of a large urban police department in L.A. and knows the ins and outs of the Chicago Police Department.
I got 45 seconds left. Boy, that's a job I don't want. If I were the mayor, I'd happily hand it over to a commission, you know?
Yeah, and in L.A., you basically, the mayor nominates five people that are citizens, extremely qualified. They have to put in a ton of work. It's an unpaid position. Mm. But those five people are approved by city council, and the police chief reports to them, and the executive director of the commission reports to them. And it's their job to implement it. It was their job for a decade to implement all these reforms in the consent decree, and it's worked wonders there.
Austin Berg is with the Illinois Policy Institute and regularly joins us on Thursdays for the Mincing Rascals podcast. Nice to talk to you. Thanks for your help again. And you recommend that people, I guess if I just Google the consent decree of Chicago, I can find that?
Yes, and you can also look up the monitoring team. It's called the Independent Monitoring Team for the Chicago Police Department Consent Decree, and that's where you can see the progress of each of those reforms.
Nice to talk to you. Thank you, Austin.
Thanks, John.